Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to At the Movies with me, Umar Paganampake Pagan. The animated feature, Soul Station, is the smart, scary, and stunningly paced prequel to the smash hit zombie apocalypse movie Train to Busan. And it might just even be better. Now, in Train to Busan, South Korean writer-director Yoon Sang-ho put the focus on a series of family units on the run, while in this one, he takes a look at the origins of the zombie plague. It's a great little metaphor that depicts the city of Seoul as the real disease, with the zombies merely being the symptoms. Joining me today to take a trip back into Yoon Sang-ho's world is Ian McNally. Ian.
Uma.
This was better, right, than Train to Busan?
A little bit. I think because it's animated, they can do a lot more and be a little bit more edgy.
Man, this was a good film. I really enjoyed this. Yoon Sang-ho's doing it for me when it comes to zombies.
Oh, yes. Very much so. And tension. I think I mentioned in one of my reviews of Train to Busan that it was the first real movie of the summer that swept me up in it. In that I was not thinking about the direction, the music, or the acting. It was literally, I'm on the ride the whole way through.
And I think this one does it too.
But the tension seemed to be even ratcheted up even higher.
Correct. Even more so than the live action.
Yeah.
And I was completely swept up in the film. I was completely in the moment. And a lot of it had to do with the animation, the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
The way he shot certain scenes was very, very clever. He would cut away just at the right moments, mm-hmm. when an ambulance is flipping over.
Yes.
The angles he uses when
cutting the slow-mo during that scene was very nice. It's just people tumbling through the inside of a van. It's a shot we've seen in live action a couple of times, but it just looked real nice in that style.
When they first start running away from these attacking zombies coming through a station and the camera is panning with every turn.
Oh, yeah.
You're immediately swept up in those turns.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know, was it a fully 3D movie that was cel-shaded or was segments that were 3D cel-shading or not? It was hard to tell.
It felt like segments. It felt like the characters weren't fully 3D, but then all of the objects and window panes and houses were 3D.
Or at times, some of the characters seemed, the way they would do a turn that would be like really painstaking and annoying to do in hand-drawn art, whereas if you do it in a 3D model, it gets the lighting a lot easier. It seemed to have a mix of that. I did think they had something weird going on with the running model they used. Some of the running looked a bit weird, especially when they ran towards camera, or there was just like a lot of weird hand-holding. Maybe it's exhaustion, but I felt they looked off sometimes.
Maybe that's just how Korean people run. We don't know. Cultural barriers, Ian. Cultural barriers. I mean, for me, I was watching this movie, and the thing that struck me the most is that one thing that hasn't changed, and we talked about it in our review of Train to Busan, is the emotional quotient is ratcheted up so high.
Yeah.
Everyone's crying and screaming and wailing all the time, and it feels so much like every Korean drama I've seen.
And I think it's, as well, because it's animation, there's a lot of like, we can't have a silent scene. So even if someone's just checking out a house,
they're like,
they're not Rick from The Walking Dead silently walking from room to room. They're like, there's just wailing and whimpering throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it gets a bit weird at times. You're like, just shut up and get on with it.
Move on.
Yeah.
Move along.
I think the joy of these films, I think we said before, was that they are doing it fresh. Whereas we've seen so many, like, you know, The Walking Dead being a classic is that you miss the initial outbreak. They're doing that now with Fear the Walking Dead. Whereas this is that first initial shock horror.
So the big difference between Train to Busan and this one is that he seems like he hasn't fleshed out his zombie characteristics as yet.
Yeah, I felt that could have been the style of animation as well. They didn't come off quite as visceral as they did in the movie.
In Busan, it's very clear that, you know, they can't open doors.
Yeah.
So right from the get-go of the film, those criteria are already set. So you know what the humans can do, what the zombies can do. You know places where they might be safe and where they might not.
Mm.
And why that works so well is that when something random and unexpected happens, it really takes you aback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact is, we know those rules from Train to Busan, but they pretty much ignore them in this. Like, not ignore them, it's just that they never really have. There's only one person figures out they're zombies and that they come back from the dead. I mean, this one has a lot more, I think, to say. It's similar to Shin Godzilla was about the government's handling of the earthquake and stuff. I think this is more about, like, how authority just doesn't, will not be able to handle this kind of thing.
I mean, I don't know much about Korean society, but it feels like this message is being pressed across both movies where you will get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get left behind in Korea, there is no hope for you. It's such a fast-paced society. Everyone in this film is left behind. All of the zombies, it begins with homeless people in Seoul Station.
And they completely bring it home to you repeatedly that these homeless are worthless to them. Like, it's mentioned numerous times.
That, oh,
like,
they're oh, so I
should
annoying.
Help this, I should go help this guy. Oh, he's homeless. Or they're listening intently to what you're saying about the lunatics outside up until they smell you and say, oh, you're a homeless person, you're crazy, I'm not going to listen to you at all. And that's driven home again and again and again. And then whenever we meet any of the authorities and they try to explain them, and they're a little bit out of breath because they've been running from their life for zombies for the last 10 minutes, they're all treated like crazy people.
Yeah, they're all treated like crazy people. And what's more, we saw this in Busan as well. It's people of authority as well.
Yeah.
It's the people of authority believe that their lives are more important.
Yeah.
So we saw it with that annoying corporate guy in Train to Busan,
yeah,
who messes things up for everyone. And we see it in this movie with almost every person, the police, the military, even the ambulance guy to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah. They're just not like thinking ahead. And like that ambulance scene, again, the tension was just like, he's right, don't go to the hospital. That's where all the bite victims are. That's going to be Zombie Central anytime soon.
And no one listens.
No one listens.
Are we liking this take on zombies? Because I'm really liking this take, because this, as compared to The Walking Dead, for example, it's very different social commentary, right?
Yeah.
The Walking Dead is all about human survival in the face of an apocalypse and how we'd end up killing each other.
Yeah, and at this point, it's probably become more of a soap opera because of the characters we know.
That's right.
It's not that shock horror factor anymore. It's now, how do these people, these particular people, deal with the zombie apocalypse, not just any people.
But with both of Yeon Sang-ho's movies, what we're finding now is a different kind of social commentary on present-day society in Korea. In that, the zombies are the symptom of whatever is happening in Korea at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
zombies aren't the problem.
Yeah, there's more research required, but it's like, this could have been helped very easily if someone had helped an old man who was ill.
The
entire thing would have been prevented, but as it was just let go further and further and further, where it could have just been, if people had looked out for each other a little bit more, it would have gone a lot better for everyone.
Oh, and just not ignored, I guess, those less fortunate than you in society.
Yeah.
Because there's a moment in the beginning of the film, right within the first 10 minutes, when one of the characters, he grabs a handful of ash and cigarettes and threatens to throw it at this corporate guy.
Mm.
And I thought that scene was very well played out, because the corporate guy, he's not even afraid.
Yeah, he ignores him completely.
He's just ignoring him completely. This guy is screaming at him, saying he's a dictator and I'm going to throw all of this at your face. And that guy just continues puffing his cigarette and just
sneering,
the way
almost
he looks at him, it's like, you're worthless. I don't even want to waste my time with you, right? And I thought all of those scenes were done really, really well.
Yeah.
I mean, the main protagonists in this film are a prostitute or a trying to get reformed prostitute.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend.
Her idiot boyfriend.
Her father.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? No, that's it, right? It's the three of them. And there are a couple of homeless
people. And then there's
people
come in and out of their circle as they go along. And I think one of the brilliant things, like that scene is, apart from that scene, the opening of this movie is just like, it's instantly engaging. Like, you get a little bit of walking around Seoul and then two characters have an argument and you're instantly with these characters. And at that point, there's also other groups and you're wondering which ones they're going to stay with. And they are a weird choice to stick with for your protagonist for your movie. And I really enjoyed that.
Watching this made me realize how much the zombie movies we watch borrow so much from just American tropes and Western tropes.
Mm.
And we haven't seen something unique come out of Japan or Korea or Asia in a long time. And I like it. I like this take.
It's really enjoying. And it still gets us those forward-diving head zombies. It's just terrifying. Just when there's a scene where a character's trying to balance on a beam and zombies are just falling like snow around her, and the tension they go. And I think a lot of the tension goes in the music as well. I'm using the word tension a lot because I was so tense. I'm still tense.
No, there was the build-up of tension in every scene.
There's a lot of percussion and a lot of siren-type music that really kind of grates on your nerves as well, and it just keeps going and building and building, and oh my God, someone's going to get eaten.
And yet again, the other comparison with The Walking Dead is what Yeon Sang-ho does is he excels in confined spaces.
Oh, yes.
So The Walking Dead, yeah, you know, they're in a lot of wide open spaces.
Yeah.
They're in farms.
Yeah, yeah.
And out in big
in
cities. They're in Atlanta, yeah. Right? Meanwhile, in this movie, there's a scene where they're stuck in a jail cell.
Yes, it's rule number one of surviving the zombie apocalypse. Don't lock yourself in a jail cell with no other exit.
Exactly.
And there's not even a lock on it.
There's four of them in it, and there's one person who's been bitten.
Yeah, and not only that, they are outside. They're just out 1.5 arms reaches outside the reach of zombies who are all grasping through the bars. And it's like, you're done. Good night. There's no chance.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And he builds up that tension so well.
Yeah.
And he does it with that. He does it with this character walking across a beam or trying to scale between two buildings on power lines.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's... I mean, I don't want to give too much away because that might ruin some of the tension because all of these moments have twists.
Yeah.
And all of the twists really work and they feel like they've been earned.
Yeah, definitely. Like there's moments where a character will just drop out of frame for doing something heroic. And you're like, damn. Because that character, you know nothing about them, don't know their name, but you've seen them try to do something good. You've seen them lose hope, run, and then be all for themselves and then try to help someone else. And after that, they don't get it. They don't get the happy ending. They get to go out badly, very badly.
This is a great movie. This is a great movie. It's well-paced.
Yeah.
My only critique of it from watching it in Malaysia is I think there's a bit in the climax which has been censored.
It looks like it's missing, yeah, because there's a very clear jump to something else that's going on. It's a very powerful ending, I think is all we should say about that.
Yeah, and the subtitles are kind of crappy.
Most of the time they work. It's just we need more on signs and phones. Phones particularly.
Yes, so they didn't bother translating a lot of the text, which I think we may have missed some stuff with.
Yeah. But I mean, you would think translating the text would be easier. You can run it through Google Translate.
Exactly. So we're highly recommending this film.
Yes.
Catch it in whatever way you can. You can tweet me. I'm on at Umar Pagan. Ian is on.
I'm at McNasty Prime.
And tell us what you think about Seoul Station. Train to Busan, of course, is something you have to watch. And I don't think you have to watch it before or after. I don't think you have to watch these movies in any order.
No, it doesn't really... There's no real need to.
But I, for one, am looking forward for more stuff from this guy.
Yeah, from this guy. I'm not looking forward to any Hollywood remakes because they'll just retread it and make it awful.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.